absolutely the concrete fellowship as well. Please stand as you're able in body and spirit as we continue with our service. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my Lord, my God, you are very great.
You are clothed with honor and majesty, wrapped in light as in a garment. things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you, and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority. I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all hear their worship and praise. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and
kids, they must still be off on spring break anyway. But symbolizes our very breath and wind. Because mountains, of course, they're the highest peak. And whenever you have something on the mountain, it's got to come down. It's got to be coming down with the gravity and all of that. But the same is true for wind. Wind always goes from a place of high pressure to low pressure. It's almost like going downhill from a high place down to a low place. And our very breath is like that as well. I used to think that we breathe there by sucking it in, you know, whatever. But actually, when we expand our diaphragm, it makes our lungs a place of low pressure. And so the normal pressure of the air around us puts the air into our lungs. And if someone comes up around you and just gives you a big squeeze, have you ever had someone that does hugs so tight it's like, it just throws the breath right out of you? Well, that's high pressure, and it's expelling the air out of you. And today we have disciples going up to Transfiguration to experience it up on top of the mountain. But they have to come down. They have to come down. And I think that's a beautiful image for God's coming to us, always coming from a high place, coming down. And the Holy Spirit as well, to come from a place of high pressure, of all this complete wonderfulness of God into us as we empty ourselves, as we empty our very lives and breathe out and be able to have a place of low pressure in our spirits, in our hearts, in our lives, to be able to receive that gift of God's Holy Spirit. That's what God does in Transfiguration. Comes from that high place to this low place to be with us. Let's pray. Let's put our hands together on three. One, two, three. Please repeat after me. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
For your love.
For your love.
For your life.
For your life.
For your spirit.
And for your spirit.
Come within us.
Come within us.
Help us to be your people.
Help us to be your people.
Share your love.
And share your love.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A reading from the book of Exodus. Hear now the word. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there. I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up onto the mountain of God. To the elders, he had said, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Look, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the Israelites. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Holy wisdom. Holy word.
Thanks be to God.
We'll sing the psalm this morning. It's found on page 6 of your bulletin. I'll begin with the light print. Please respond and join in by singing the dark print. Psalm 2.
Why are the nations in an uproar? Why do the peoples mutter empty threats?
Why do the kings of the earth rise up in revolt, and the princes plot together against the Lord?
us break their yoke, they say. Let us cast off their bonds from us.
God, whose throne is in heaven, is laughing. The Lord holds them in derision.
Then in wrath God speaks to them, and in rage fills them with terror. Let me announce the decree of the Lord, who said to me, "You are my son. This day have I begotten you."
Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession.
You shall crush them with an iron rod, and shatter them like a piece of pottery.
And now, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth.
Submit to the Lord with fear, and with trembling bow in worship.
Bless the Lord.
Second letter of Peter. Hear now the word. We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
St. Matthew, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. And Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here if you wish. I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for the gift of each and every person here with us. Lord, be with all of us now as we turn our hearts and minds toward your word. Guide us by your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are so many beautiful places along the coast, up and down. You know, it just is incredible. And you probably all have kind of your favorite spot. But one of them that is special to me is when we are up at Lincoln City and we're coming back from the place where the hospital is. It's Northeast 14th. And you come up to a hill and then you get to the top and all of a sudden you look east and you see all of the ocean. I mean, not all of the ocean, but you see, I mean, even the curvature of the earth and everything, I mean, it's so gorgeous. It's like, that's the kind of the closest thing we have to a mountain up in Lincoln City, but it's beautiful, beautiful up there. It reminds me of this experience of the Transfiguration, because it's so powerful and overwhelming, because this is the most incredible part of the revelation of Jesus before his resurrection. The season of Epiphany always ends with the Transfiguration. It's always the last scripture right before we get to Ash Wednesday and then enter into Lent, because it's kind of the culmination of before the resurrection of seeing who Jesus is. Now, if you live back in this day and age and you're reading this, you knew that this was special. Anything that has to do with mountains is special. Because if you're a Jew, you remember about the Ten Commandments coming and being given on the mountain. You know, that just happened a couple weeks ago. On February 1st, we heard that story about the giving of this gift. Even in the Old Testament lesson, again, this incredible blessing. 2 weeks ago, actually, on February 1st, was the Sermon on the Mount. It was another place. And also we get the first reading today on the mountain, 2 weeks ago, about the Sermon on the Mount. This is kind of like Jesus' new Ten Commandments of how to live as a person of faith. And so not only do we have this mountain, but we have something called a theophany, which is like this presence, this experience of God. You have the cloud that comes down and this voice that happens, that thunders to the people, "This is my beloved son." The disciples are scared to death. I mean, it says that they just shake. They don't know what to do. They see all this going on. In the Gospel of Mark, there's a little added version, a little added verse that isn't in here. It says that Peter didn't know what to say. So he said, let's build some tents. Let's stay here. Let's keep this moment. Let's just hang out here together, right? They don't know what to do. All of a sudden, they see Moses and Elijah. The symbol of the law and the prophets, the two most important characters of the whole Old Testament. Some people said, well, how did they know? I mean, did they have this little name tag that said, "Hello, my name is Elijah. Hello, my name is Moses." No, it was obvious to them because of the theophany, the presence of God. I mean, you could just tell. And then they're talking, and it doesn't say what they talk about. Many people say that it's Jesus' preparation as he marches towards Jerusalem, towards his death, towards the resurrection. One pastor said, maybe they said, "Jesus, you look good as a human," because they had never seen him as a human before. You know, that who knows what kind of form Jesus was before his incarnation as a baby. But they're having this discussion, this gathering together. Says that they want to stay there, to have these tents. This was something that was done during the Feast of Tabernacles. People would stay in tents for a while. And sometimes we have that inclination as well. When things are going right and beautiful and we feel God's presence or whatever, we just want to hang on to it and just stay together. Let's just stay at the top of the mountain. I don't know how many of you have been to camp or a retreat or whatever, and it was hard to come home, right? It was like, can't we just stay? You know, and kids, maybe your own kids, you had to like kick them out of the house and you had to drag them out screaming and crying to camp, and then at the end they don't want to come home with you. You know? It's because that's how sweet it is when we're in the presence of God. When we're in the presence of Christ and the Holy Spirit and the Father. They don't know what to do. They say, let's just stay here. Let's just keep this. It doesn't get better than this. Let's not go anywhere. It's kind of like a dog chasing a car. Once it catches the car, what do? You know, it's like, well, can't drive it, you know. It's like, well, what? You know, so, and sometimes we as church people are that way. God gives us these gifts. I mean, the gift of worship, the gift of Holy Communion, the gift of prayer and Bible study and Lent and all of that stuff. And it's like, well, what do we do with it? What do we do with it? You know, the gospel is so that we might see more clearly who Jesus is. When they went up to the mountain, this wasn't some spiritual beauty contest that they chose one of three of who they thought they would lead, or who would lead them and who they would follow. No, it was really obvious who was Jesus. He's the one with the dazzling clothes. He's the one whose face shines like the sun. He's the one that has all the attention. He's the one that starts there and is still there when everybody else goes away. It's obvious who Jesus is, the Messiah, our Savior. That's God's gift. And once you see that, things change. Things change. My dad always had poor eyesight. And he loved to tell the story of when he got glasses for the first time. As a small boy, he finally got glasses. They finally figured out that he couldn't see that well. And I don't know if he's bumping into things or what, but he was like, this kid needs glasses. So they gave him glasses, and they were strong. And all of a sudden, he, for the very first time, saw that there were electric lines between the poles and telephone lines between the poles. Up until then, he thought, I wonder what all these poles are for. You know? All of a sudden, it was like, ah, you know? All of a sudden, for the first time, he saw that there were leaves on trees. He thought trees were just these green blobs or whatever. He had never realized that, oh, that's what comes down. Those are green leaves on trees. He was never the same. And he always was in awe of creation around him, because he could finally see. That's what happens to us in our baptism. That's what happens to us in our confirmation, as we receive this holy meal, as we have experiences, whether it be at camp or in worship or in Bible study or reading or devotions or whatever. God does these little individual things that are like little glimpses of the kingdom of God. And once you see that, things change. Things change. So what changes? Well, one of the things is that we grow. We grow because we love, because we want to be able to be closer to God. I've told people that it's not like some threat, like, you better do this. You know, when we're kids, it's almost like it feels like we're being pushed into something we don't want to do or go. But it's this gift. Told people before, it's different that I married Diane because I love her rather than I thought I was going to hell if I didn't. See that? A little difference in the relationship, right? Yeah. Unfortunately, sometimes some of us have been brought up in faith with threats and like, you better do this, rather than falling in love, being a place of low pressure, and letting God's Holy Spirit come within us and then go deeper into our life with Christ. We fall in love with God. But secondly, we share that gift. We share that gift with others. Because we can't help not to. You know, when we realize what God has given us in abundance, we figure that that needs to be shared with other people that haven't seen yet, that don't have the glasses, that have never experienced that nudge of the Holy Spirit. I mean, and it starts even right here. I mean, when we have guests that come for the very first time, that's a scary thing. You remember when you did that? Visiting a new church for the first time? It's like showing up at high school and everyone else is at their tables and you're wandering around like just completely lost. You know, they do one thing and you do the other one. I mean, everyone's standing and you're still sitting, and then you stand and then they sit down and you think, what's going on? And sharing the peace, everyone's talking to someone that they haven't seen for 20 minutes, you know? And you're standing there just thinking, I wish someone would come talk to me, you know, what am I doing, you know? And after fellowship, you hang out in the bathrooms or the pictures or something because you don't know where to go, you know? God invites us to be able to want others to be able to see what we've seen. There's enough to go around. It doesn't get smaller and smaller as we share. It gets brighter and more warm and more exciting the more we share it. That's what God does. When I used to serve down in Durango, we would take our confirmation class every year to Rainbow Trail. It was a camp. And a beautiful camp, and they had mountains around. There was one place called Eagle Peak. Eagle Peak wasn't the top of a mountain, but it was a pretty high place that just had this incredible, gorgeous view. And I remember the first year I was there, they had a hike up to Eagle Peak. Everybody was going to go up to Eagle Peak, you know, and they were kind of planning it in advance. They said, okay, this will probably wind up in three different groups. So we want someone to be there with the first group and the second group and the last group. The first group are the goats. Those are the kids that are just going to run up there. You know, they'll be jogging half the way, you know. And then there's the hikers. There's the hikers. Then there'll be this other second group that'll be the hikers. And then the third group, this is what they called them. The This Is Good Enough group. I said, who wants to be with the This Is Good Enough group? I lifted my hand. I'll take that group, you know. And this is the folks that have never been to a mountaintop or never been to a peak, never seen a view like that. And the group that weren't hikers and weren't maybe as athletic as some of the other kids or whatever and all. And so I was part of that group. And sure enough, we got going and some of the folks would start saying, this is good enough. I think this is good enough. You guys go ahead. I'll just stay here. I'll just hang out here. This is good enough. But then we would just stop and be patient and say, okay, no, let's take a rest here. And then, you know, when you're ready, let's go a little bit further. Let's get up to at least that peak. And then we get up to that peak and we're like, yeah, this is good enough. This is good enough. You guys go ahead. Go ahead. And they said, no, let's just wait. This is all right. No rush. This is not a race. We got all afternoon or whatever. And then we go up further, and finally, we got up to Eagle Peak. All of us to Eagle Peak. And that group of folks was ecstatic. I mean, so much more than the others, because they'd been there before. It wasn't like a big deal. I mean, if you've done hiking before and you've been to the top, it's like, oh, this is cool. You know, but if this is your very, very first time, they were like over the moon. It's like, wow, this is great. They'd be so glad that we didn't settle for this is good enough. But now we've been here. We've been here. That was the best group to be a part of. You know, in faith, I think that this is good enough group is actually the majority of us. Of us. Because we get to that place. We get so busy. And we get so tired. and we get so sometimes discouraged and whatever, and it's okay to rest. And it's okay to think and say, this is good enough. But you know what? It's not. It's not. Once we've seen the peak, once other people have told us about the peak, once people have seen the curtain just pulled back and caught a glimpse of the kingdom of God, once people know the joy of worship and the nudge and the power of the Holy Spirit and all of that, they pass that on to other people. And they know the joy of when people can actually see what we've already had the privilege to see. The view is good up here. The view is good up here. Let's have others join us. Let's pray. Lord, be with us as we pray silently before you. Lord, we thank you for hearing us. We thank you for speaking to us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
as God's beloved children, united in Christ. Let us pray for the church, the whole human community, and the well-being of the earth, our home. Revealing God, your Spirit sustains the church. Strengthen the faithful with the revelation of Christ transfigured, that we may joyfully follow him in the way of the cross. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Life-giving God, creation is full of your majesty. Nurture in us a deep respect for the interdependence of all life, and make us wise and vigilant stewards of your good earth. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Peacemaking God, the nations are in turmoil. We pray for an end to violent conflict. Give wisdom to negotiators and sanctuary to refugees. Defend any who are in danger. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Healing God, you desire wholeness for all people. Bring healing to any who are experiencing illness, chronic pain, or mental anguish. Comfort the dying and those who grieve, especially Joe, Harold, Misty, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Julie, Paul, Mike, Kenneth, Paul, Jill, Bran, for immigrants and refugees, that they may be treated justly, their dignity honored, and their rights upheld. For victims of war and violence, for victims of natural disasters in our nation and around the world, and also for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Holy God, in our worship, we glimpse your glory, hear your voice, and receive assurance of your love. Inspire all who prepare, lead, and participate in worship to serve you with reverence and joy. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Transforming God, you bring life from death. We give thanks for the witness of those who have died in faith, and we praise you for the hope we have in Christ, our morning star. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Confident that the Holy Spirit receives our prayers and answers us, we commend all for whom we pray to God's loving kindness made known to us in Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let's stand as we're able and share that peace with each other. Let's gather back together as we prepare for the offering hymn. Please remain standing as you're able. For those who love you. Yet in this meal, you reveal the wideness of your mercy. Please use what we've gathered to feed us with the reign of God come near. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who sharing our life lived among us to reveal your glory and love, that our darkness should give way to your brilliant light. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy.
Majesty of your glory. We thank you, for you so loved the world that you gave your only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Remembering, therefore, his command, we give thanks to you, all Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. We ask you to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and Holy Spirit to bless us, your servants, and these your own gifts of bread and wine, so that we and all who share in the body and the blood of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessing and grace, and may be formed to live as your holy people. To you, blessed Trinity, be all honor and glory in your holy church, both now and forever.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Here we have open communion, so you don't have to be a member of this parish or of the Lutheran Church. Everyone is invited. You can also come up for a blessing, too, as you wish. Please be seated.
Thank you.
May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ keep us in grace.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Radiant God, we have seen your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. In the sacrament of his body and blood, you have drawn us to your heart. Please send us from this table with delight, that our lives may reflect the beauty of your love and bear witness to all that we've seen and heard through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Just a couple announcements. The big one is that this Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, so services here at noon and 7 o'clock. And as we're talking about growing deeper in our faith, it's perfect timing. Even if you wanted to read a chapter of the Bible a day, you could get through 40 or 50 chapters of the New Testament and just do the Gospels. Start at the peak of the mountain. Start with the Gospels and all of that. If you read a chapter in the morning and the chapter in the evening, you could do all four Gospels. So anyway, I hope you can join us here for worship and to go deeper in that faith as well. And then soup suppers and hold in the evening prayer starting February 25th. So please remember that as well. Any other announcements? Okay, let's continue with the blessing. May the triune God, who has put a new song in your mouth and turned your heart for praise, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please let's sing together our final hymn.